We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. In for Mark Cerise. Jack Fritz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. As we talk Joe Girardi, his potential impact on the 2020 Phillies. I think we're overrating what Joe Girardi can actually do with this team and how far a change at manager could take the Phillies. Look, Girardi's a good manager, and he's had a lot of success in his career, but I don't think managers can have that much of an impact. I think the team, the roster, the players, that's what's going to make or break the Phillies. I have Rhys Hoskins as my guy that needs to have a big year if this team's going to get to the playoffs. Joe is only a very small part of this. He's a manager. He can only make so many moves, change things so much to get this team to where we want it to go. I don't think Joe Girardi can have a gigantic impact. 215-592-9494. And how about this story? Yesterday, the NFL, this came out from The Athletic yesterday. They're considering the possibility of having fans sign a coronavirus liability waiver before they be allowed to attend a game. Now that, look, we don't know yet if fans are going to be allowed in any games, and this thing might end up being certain areas yes, certain areas no, but a waiver to go to a football game. My guess is that people are going to sign this waiver. Like that if people are willing to go to a game, they're not going to balk at the idea of, well, I did want to go, but now I have to sign this waiver. Now I'm not going to go. I think they'll get people to sign this thing. I think people will sign it, but it just shows you that every step of this, as we try to go back to sports, and in 3 weeks we could have opening day with Major League Baseball, it is not going to be any of it normal, including maybe signing a waiver to go to an Eagles game or any football game. 215-592-9494. All right. Also, our favorite baseball stories, your personal baseball stories, games you were at. Let me throw mine out there. We just got one. You know, we brought this up because this date in 1993, we are, what is it, 17 years ago or 27 years ago? We got, 27 years ago. We got Mitch Williams walking off at 4:40 in the morning, Phillies, Padres, second half of doubleheader. We heard the call by Harry Callis, an amazing game, and obviously, if you were there, that's a memory you have forever. I'll give you mine. It was 2009. I went to a game. It was July, I think, I have the box score here, July 11th, 2009, right around the time of the All-Star break. I think it was the weekend before the All-Star break, if my mind is right on that. And look, when I think back to the 07 to 11 run with the Phillies, my memory of it is they were never out of a game. You know, at the end of that run, obviously the pitching carried them, but early on, it was an offensive team. It was a home run hitting team. It was a team that scored a lot of runs. And I went to a game Saturday against the Pirates. It was a night game, 09 in July. And they were down a lot. And Ryan Howard hit a walk-off home run against, I think the guy's name was Matt Capps, the relief pitcher for the Pirates. And it was one of those things where, like, Howard walked to the plate, and I just had this feeling they were down a bunch, but they might have been down three or four runs heading into the sixth or seventh inning. And you just got the sense with that team, they were never out of a game. And then they'd come back, you know, using their offense. And in that game, Howard hit a home run, and they walked it off against the Pirates. And it summed up to me, like, yeah, sometimes you go to a game and the identity of the team that you're watching comes out. And that was one of those games. Phillies are down. Pitching's not great. Boom. Offense. Boom. Offense. Boom. Ryan Howard home run. Phillies walk it off against Pittsburgh. 215-592-9494. This date in 93, Mitch Williams walk-off hit against the Padres at 4:40 in the morning.
You think anyone listening out there was at the game?
At the 93 game?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
That's gotta be something that you just tell your friends about forever. Like, it was 4:40 in the morning, and you could hear people there. It's not like there was no one there.
Yeah,
you were at a bar. You know,
came stumbling in.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so it's a taxi. Take me to the Veterans Stadium. I mean, just like, I think it'd be awesome to hear from someone that was there for the Mitch Williams walk off. Besides, like, you know, Mitch Williams.
Yeah, and plus it was a pitcher that got the hit. I mean, that makes it even crazier. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games that go long in baseball, but that game, a relief pitcher ended up getting the hit. Jack, you got one? You got a real baseball story for us?
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, it kind of stinks for me. I didn't go to any of the like playoff games during the run. You know, I think my best Phillies memory was like a Phillies were down like 4 against the Reds in 2010. And, like, Cody Ransom tied it up in the 9th.
Cody Ransom.
Yeah, and then Howard walked it off Arthur Rhodes in extra innings. And there was also fireworks night, which made it even cooler. But my best and favorite baseball memory is I was 9, and I just started pitching for the first time. And my granddad had never seen me play baseball before. Like, I played T-ball or whatnot, but he didn't actually see me physically play baseball. And he didn't know I was pitching. And I came in to close out a game when I was 9, and I threw harder than everyone in the league at that point. And I just remember he came up to me after the game, and he's like, I was like, yeah, I was pitching at the end. And he's like, that was you? Just like blown, like, just surprised.
That you could do that?
Yeah. Little chubby kid. You know, I could sometimes throw a little hard. So I will always remember, like, my granddad coming up to me after the first game I pitched and saying, like, that wasn't you.
You can't be that good. That's a good story.
So yeah, it was an all-timer.
Jack impressing his grandpa at the age of 9. 215-592-9494. Actually, I'll give one more. I'll give a personal one when I played. So I played up until sophomore year of high school. But when I was in, I guess this was middle school, whatever level that is in baseball, whatever that was. We moved to the 90-foot field. It's like it's a regulation field. I was playing a game, and then it started lightning and thunder and raining, and we had gone up in the top of the inning, my team, and we had scored a couple runs to take the lead, and because the rain came, I forget how this totally worked, but the rain came, and they made us revert to the last completed inning, and we were down in that inning, so we lost the game on this technicality. Like, we had taken the lead. It was the most frustrating thing. You take the lead, and then the weather comes, and it changes everything. They're like, well, we have to go back to the last completed inning. We were losing, so we lost the game.
Yeah, that's like
it's ridiculous.
Like, that's like my senior year. So we were 16. We were 16-4, but we're really 17-3 because we won a game. But since I pitched too much that inning, like, I went over my innings limit, we had to forfeit it after the game was over. And so we went from a 17-3 baseball team to a 16-4 baseball team.
Did you guys lose track, you and the coaches, or you didn't care?
We lost track. And, like, because I was brought in to close out the game, but I exceeded my innings limit week. And my coach had to go over and admit it. And that made us, like, we went from, like, a 3 seed to, like, an 8 seed. We played the best team in the state in the second round. And I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's a big error. 215-592-9494. Al is on WIP. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi. My name's Al. I'm calling from upstate New York.
Al, it's good to hear from you, buddy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's my first time calling, so I'm a little nervous, but I'll be okay.
Yeah, don't be nervous. Let's just chat about baseball.
Okay. August 10th, 1977, my wife and I, we went to see a Phillies Expos Twilight doubleheader. That game ended at 3:30 in the morning. It had, like, several rain delays. But the coolest thing was, by 3 o'clock, there was maybe 200, 300 fans in the stadium. And my wife and I, we walked around the vet, went up and sat in the top row of far center field and watched the game. It was like being in heaven. It was like so cool with no one was there, just us looking down to the field, watching the guys play, all the lights on, and just being in that top row of center field was just the coolest experience ever.
Yeah, Al, it's all sometimes being in those kind of stadiums. You know, we all appreciate and we love when everyone is there and it's a big game and it's packed and you're part of something. But there is something cool about being in an almost empty stadium and you can move around. It's almost you almost feel like you have a backstage pass to something nobody else has.
Yeah, exactly. We still have that memory. My wife and I, we talked about it. You know, I'm 73. She's 70. And this is our wedding anniversary too, so it's kind of lots of old. We have lots of old memories of the vet.
Yeah, it sounds, Al, it sounds like. And I, listen, I appreciate your phone call and happy anniversary. How about that, Al? Remember, it was a twi-night doubleheader against the Expos in the 70s. So that, those are the kind of memories you don't get with other sports.
You don't get that at a football game.
Not that kind of memory, because they're all they're all the same. Brent is in Nazareth. What's up, Brent?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I kind of like the putting a guy on second base to lead things off, because it seems like when the game's tied, everyone's trying to win it with a home run, and the strikeouts go up, and the baseball gets really poor, and everyone's just swinging out of their shoes. So maybe guys will be more inclined to play a little smaller ball, maybe go for the base hit to try and score the run right then. And I'm a Diamondbacks fan, even though I just moved to Lehigh Valley a few years ago. I'm getting on board with the Phillies, and I've just seen some long, long, long games, 16 innings, 18 innings, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah, Brent, before you give your story, you're right about that. And I've been, you know, on at night doing the pre and post the last few years. So I've seen and talked about a lot of those long games. So you're right. And I agree with you on the strategy part of it. Like, I think it's a little Mickey Mouse to just throw a runner on second base. But it will bring some strategy into the game in that some managers want to bunt, right? You'll move a guy to third, one out. And some managers won't. You'll take three cracks at getting a hit to bring the guy in. It will bring a little extra element of strategy to the game, too.
I also think that Giardi is going to have a major impact on the Phillies, because he hasn't managed in the major league since 2006, where he only did it for 1 year. So going from the American League to going from the American League to the National League, he may make some mistakes here and there that may wind up affecting it more than someone who's been managing in the National League for a while.
Interesting thought. Brent, I appreciate the phone call. Here's the one thing. I understand his point. Girardi's been in the AL for a long time, managing the NL for 1 year in 2006. But there's a DH now in the American League, in both leagues. You know, if we were having a normal year, no DH, and it was Joe back to the NL, I would understand the point more, because he has to readjust the double switch and all that. He'll be fine. I mean, Joe's going to be fine even if there was no DH. He's a baseball guy. He's a catcher forever. He played in the NL for a long time. I'm not worried about Girardi with strategy. I mean, Girardi's really good. I mean, Girardi's a good manager. I just think the impact he's going to have, we are overrating it, and we're putting too much on, well, yeah, the team's okay, but they have Joe Girardi. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference, the managerial change. 215, not crazy. We'll see. I hope I am. If I'm crazy, this team should be in the playoffs.
They will be.
All right. Well, if I'm crazy, we're having a playoff series this year at Citizens Bank.
No one's going to be there.
Well, we'll watch it and we'll talk about it. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the impact Girardi's going to have is overrated or under? Are we overrating it or are we underrating it? I think we're overrating the impact Girardi can actually have on this team this season. And give us your favorite baseball memory, something you played in, a game you were at, favorite baseball memories. And on the other side, we actually have an update from Joe Girardi on the players who were placed on the IL today and their availability for opening day. Four players on the IL, no injury listed. What did Joe say about those guys? That's up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for both Mark Cerise today. Jack Fritz behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Sweeney Murdy from WFAN up in New York. He covered every game that Joe Girardi managed in New York from 2009 through 17. So he knows about Joe and how much of an impact he can have. And Sweeney's also a former WIP update guy. So
wow.
Sweeney knows.
What a reunion.
He's a Phillies fan from back in the day. So Sweeney will join us coming up at 4 to talk Joe Girardi. And let's throw this out there before we go back to the phone lines, talk our favorite baseball memories and the impact Joe can have here. So the Phillies are having a Zoom today with Joe Girardi, with some of the people that cover the Phillies. And here is how Girardi spelled out the injured list. So yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, the Phillies have put four players on the injured list. They are not saying, baseball is not allowing them to say, as of right now, which players have COVID and which players do not. All we have is, well, this guy's on the IL. So Girardi was asked, and this was his response. Quote, this is his response. What I can tell you is they're on the IL. He's speaking of Scott Kingery, Hector Neris, Tommy Hunter, Ranger Suarez. I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious what this is. They are the guys that have COVID. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but my guess is, like, there was a picture on the Cubs today. He's having thumb surgery. His thumb's bothering him. The Cubs said he's on the IL because of a thumb injury. There's no injury list next to these players. It's just that they're on the injured list. And Girardi also said he couldn't guarantee they will be ready by opening day. So I don't know. My guess is we know some Phillies players have had COVID-19. We know what happened at the Clearwater facility. My guess is these are probably the guys. Kingery, Neris, Hunter, Suarez. I hope they're all well. I hope they're all getting very close to being better. And they could be back out there in the next couple of weeks. But Girardi doesn't know if they'll be ready for opening day. And all he could say right now is that they're on the IL.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds not. I mean, it sounds the opposite of great. That's three bullpen guys. We were talking earlier about the bullpen.
Not like this bullpen. I mean, it's so talented. You can afford to lose some of that.
No big deal. Our Twitter question here brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is offering 5 years of no interest for all diamond rings purchased in July. Shop local. Buy her the ring you want now. Details at Mark's-Jewelers.com. 72%. Believe that we are underrating the impact Joe Girardi can have here. Underrating? Listen, I keep taking L's on these polls, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, listen, you're used to being on the wrong side of things, and this is just par for the course.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe everyone else on the wrong side, and I'm on the right side. But I hope you guys are right on this one. I hope Jack is right. I hope we're underrating, and I hope Girardi has a significant impact on the culture. Russ in Elkins Park, he was actually at the game, July 3rd, 93. Russ, what's up, man?
Not much. That's one of my favorite memories. I was at that game with some guys I had just graduated high school with, and this is like at a time before cell phones. So I had just turned 18, but, you know, I still had to be home at a certain time. But we stayed at the whole game, and I got home, and my mom was actually waiting for me at home at about 5:30 we got home, and she grounded me. And my dad, I said, the game was just over. And she said, do I look like an idiot? And I'm like, no, the game just ended. And my dad came down and was like, no, the game really did just end. But I had no way of calling her, you know. So that was definitely one of my funny. That's a great memory that I still have with those guys. And just remember getting grounded for, you know, pretty much the rest of the day. And on a personal baseball memory, you know, as a player, I played senior league baseball in high school. That would be the equivalent of a little league, but for high schoolers.
Right.
And we couldn't beat one team in this immediate area, and we had to go to the Mid-Atlantic tournament as a wild card because we couldn't win Pennsylvania. The team that beat us ended up down in the same tournament with us, and We just went right through our whole bracket. Everybody, you know, Mid-Atlantic, Maryland, New Jersey, they're like, you guys are going to win. We're like, no, we're not. We know the other team is on the other end of the bracket. And they destroyed us down in Maryland, just destroyed us. And that team went on to represent Pennsylvania in the international tournament. And that one still just kills me to this day.
You're still bitter about it. I love that, Russ. When you lose to a team, you can't beat a team. It stings for Russ. Appreciate the phone call. How about Russ getting grounded for going to the game?
Oh, come on, Ma.
Mom, you got to realize the game's still on.
Yeah, it's a cool memory. Like, why? You know, I feel like moms are much tougher back in the day. And I like that everyone's kind of calmed down a little bit.
It's interesting you brought up, like, if you were at that game, there were no cell phones. This is 1993. And, like, I guess you could have found a payphone maybe somewhere. But, like, if you were there and you were young and you were supposed to be home or you still lived at home, you couldn't tell anyone. You had to hope everyone at home realized the game's still on television.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is, like, kind of nerve-wracking.
Of course it
is. Don't know where your recently graduated high school son is?
I mean, parents, I mean, I'm a parent. I don't have to go through that anymore. My kids will have phones. That's a weird thing.
When are you getting Lucas' first cell phone?
Not yet. He's only 5. I didn't have a phone until I was 17.
Yeah, I didn't get one. I was actually pretty late. I didn't get one until like 7th grade.
Yeah, so I was probably my senior high school. I didn't have, maybe junior. Like when I started driving, I got one. But now, I mean, now kids have them.
Do they have text messages when you get your cell phone?
I don't know if right away, but pretty fast after that we had text messages and maybe some games on the phone.
Oh, they're the best.
They were great. Everyone played the games. And now we have a million apps. Let's talk to Anthony in Bethlehem. What's up, Anthony?
Joe, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. So first, my memory. Let me set the stage real quick. I've been to a ton of big sporting events. I saw Kobe in the Garden, LeBron. I saw the Yankees in the World Series. I'm a Yankee fan. I was working for a hotel in New York City, and my company had two sets of season tickets, one in the Legend Suite and one up the first baseline. The Legend Suite's like where you get all the free food and stuff.
Right.
Now I'm prepping for a bodybuilding show. I'm a couple weeks out, and my boss calls me. We got these tickets in like a week. It's towards the end of the season. They're in the Legend Suite. So I'm like, I don't want to go because I can't eat this food, but like I can't turn down the Legend Suite. They're four rows behind home plate. A couple days later, I realize it's Mariano Rivera's last game. So we had two tickets. Me and my father went. It was such a unique experience because the Yankees were out of it, and they actually lost the game. But you could feel the energy building in the building as the game was going on because you knew he was coming in at some point. He didn't come in the ninth inning. I think it was the seventh or the eighth inning or something. But it was just an unreal experience. When people ask me, you know, about sports, even in a loss for my team, that's my favorite memory. I mean, it was just unreal.
Yeah, I mean, it always is something when you say goodbye to a legend, whatever team or franchise we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you're at that game. So, obviously, Anthony, you have a take on Joe Girardi as someone who was a fan of the last team they managed. What do you think about his impact? Right?
Yeah,
he's a good manager. I just think that we're overrating how much a manager can change.
It might be a little bit overrated, but I actually think you're underrating him only because I don't think you could have got a better manager this year, you know, and he might not be that, you know, plus 10 manager, but he's definitely going to be 6 or 7. Now, the Philly fans are good fans, so you're going to see his mistakes that he makes. He's not a perfect manager, but he's a real good manager. He's an old school tough guy, but he understands the analytics. I think it's way higher. I like Joe. I know he was kind of run out of it in the end in New York, but I was kind of sad to see him go. It was kind of his time to go, but you guys got a really good manager. So I think you're actually underrating it just a little bit.
There we go. So Anthony, he knows. He watches,
correct answer.
Watches all his games or watched all his games in New York. He thinks we're underrating. I mean, he's a good manager. I just think that – well, I mean, here's what he said. I mean, what our last caller said was in a 162-game season, he thinks maybe 6-game difference. And I said about 3 or 4, but we're not playing 162. We are playing 60 games.
But don't you think that's going to help him?
Well, but how many games can he actually impact? Right, there are certain games where Joe will hand the ball to Zach Eflin, and Eflin will either throw 8 shutout innings, Phillies are going to win, or Eflin will throw 1 inning, give up 6 runs. Phillies probably lose that game. Joe has nothing to do with it.
Right, but I think that, you know, given his, I think he'll get them to a different sense of urgency for the 60 games. Like, I'm more all in on, like, I don't really care about the actual managing.
The strategy.
The strategy, the X's and O's of managing. I'm more all in on the manager. The leader of a clubhouse, leader of men.
Well, he's a leader.
And I just think that in a 60-game season, like, we might see a better version of Joe Girardi.
Well, and maybe we see a better version of the Phillies. That's the hope out there, that the Phillies – because the talent level – I mean, look at their over-under in Vegas. It's 31.5. It wasn't like, oh, they changed from one manager to the next. Now they're one of baseball's best teams. That's not the way they're viewed in the marketplace and projections. They're viewed as, you know, pretty good. 31.5, that's about a 32-28 record if they go, you know, slightly over. That's pretty good, but that's not a surefire to make the playoffs. That's not surefire to win the division. They didn't add significant talent. They got a little bit better, Wheeler and Gregorius, but it's basically the same nucleus, and it's going to be a little bit better. That tells me the manager can only do so much.
Yeah, I mean, going from Aroldis Chapman to Hector Neris.
Same thing. No big deal. Yeah, I mean, right now we don't even know who the bullpen's going to be on opening day. Meanwhile, he used to have Mariano Rivera and Aroldis Chapman.
And what, Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller for a run there, David Robertson.
Yes, you know, Joe's very good at handling the bullpen. It's also a little bit easier to handle the bullpen when you have an all-star closer or a Hall of Fame closer at your disposal every night. Andy's in Deptford. What's going on, Andy?
Yo, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Joe, man. I think Carson may get J.R. Smith to go take care of that light work for him. Better keep your head on the swivel in that parking lot tonight.
Oh, no. Yeah. J.R. again? No, him and J.R. and I are good now. It's okay.
Better keep that head on the swivel, man. You don't want to be like Dallas Goedert.
I do not want to be like Dallas Goedert. That's for sure.
Yo, you really had Jared Goff and Kyler Murray ranked ahead of Carson?
I did. Look, the Goff thing, I think they're close. But if I'm building a team, I'm taking the guy that hasn't had an injury. And the Kyler thing, Kyler's the only one on my list from yesterday, Andy, that it's all projection. Everybody else has at least, you know, they've been in the league a few years. They've done something. They've gone to a playoff game, a Super Bowl. Kyler's the one. I think he's going to be amazing. I mean, his talent's off the charts.
But look at his weapons he's got, too. I mean, Christian Kirk, Fitz, Andy Isabella. He got David. Well, he don't have David Johnson. He had Kenyon Drake.
Right.
And now he's got DeAndre Hopkins. Goff's got Gurley, Kupp, Woods, Higbee, and Cooks. What? And look what Carson had last year, and his numbers were way better than both of them.
Well, he was better.
What was your list? What was your list?
My list, if I was building a team right now?
Yeah, what did you have, top 10?
I had I took Wentz at 9. I had 8 quarterbacks, and then I had Wentz 9 if I was building a team from scratch.
Who's 1 through 8?
At least if I can remember it off the top of my head. I went number 1, Mahomes. 2 was Wilson.
Right.
3 was Lamar.
Okay.
4 was Deshaun. 5
okay.
5 was Kyler.
5?
5. I love him. I think he's going to be a great player. 6 was...
He's like 5'10".
I know. But look what he did last year. I mean, he had...
Look what he did. He had 20 touchdowns, 12 picks.
500 yards rushing. 500 yards rushing.
And he had 3,700 yards passing.
Right, so he counted for 4,200 yards as a rookie. That's a lot.
I don't think that's more than Carson as a rookie. Look what Carson did last year, though. 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 7 INTs with some bum players he was throwing to.
He did. No, he finished strong. We'll see. Maybe if I'm wrong about Kyler, I'll admit to it. I just think he's on his way to start.
All right,
to
so
start
who's 6 through 8 then?
It was Dak, Goff, and Garoppolo.
Oh, my. Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? He threw, what, like 10 passes in the playoffs? In a team where they had a three-headed monster running back?
Yeah, I know. Listen, he was in the playoffs. He was not the guy that carried them. It's Andy, I appreciate the phone call. Andy and I haven't sparred on the Carson thing in a while. 215-592-9494. On the other side, your phone calls, and we'll bring on Sweeney Murdy, a guy who grew up a Phillies fan, used to do updates here at IP, and then he covered Joe Girardi's entire managerial tenure with the Yankees. How much of an impact can Joe have? Are we overrating it? Sweeney Murdy will tell us next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.